Hey everybody, welcome to Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Carrie and I are very excited to talk with you today. We're going to go in a little bit of a different direction about blending families. We're going to talk about step-parenting and parenting in the same household. So Carrie, I know you have lots of different dynamics that are going on in your house. So let's start chatting about what it's like being a mom to your two little ones and your middle son, and then a stepmom all at the same time to your older girls. What's that experience like?
Yes. So hello. And hello. It is definitely a challenge because we have, like we said, I have three stepdaughters. And when I came into the picture, the youngest was three turning four and the oldest was a teenager, 13. Mm-hmm. And I was a mom for all of like 4 or 5 months at that point. So it was all new to me. And I remember my mom, once my husband and I, or then my boyfriend, I guess, were getting serious. She's like, well, what are you going to have Lucas call him? And what are the girls going to call you? And she was like, really like focused on what are they going to call you? And I said, you know, it was kind of a big deal, but I'm like, I don't know. Like, what are they going to call me? So it ended up being that the girls call me Carrie, my name, and my kids obviously call me mom now. Mm-hmm. And the story of how my husband got his name for my son was kind of funny. He was a baby, I don't know, less than a year, and he kept calling him Keith. And he would say, Keith, Keith, Keith. And he was just trying to get his attention one day, and he wasn't, you know, was doing something, wasn't paying attention. And he went, babe, 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 because he heard me call him babe, and he still didn't answer him. So he finally went, Keith, babe. And then he answered him. So ever since, he's been Keith, babe.
Oh, that's so cute.
Right? It is.
That's what Lucas calls him. That's so funny.
Right. So, and we figure at some point, you know, he'll be too old for that. But right now, he's still Keith, babe.
Yeah. That's sweet. I think it's funny. I think grandparents seem to, like, get really hung up on, like, names. Like, what are the kids going to call me? You know, they have, like, all these crazy variations of, like, grandma and pop. But, you know, I think it's like whatever feels comfortable for your kids. And also, you know, your girls were older, so they hadn't had anybody in their life, you know, except for their mom for many years. Whereas Lucas, you know, was a baby when you guys started getting together. So, you know, he probably has more of a, you know, natural like affinity, like a dad almost. So, you know, like a term of endearment. So I think it just really goes on, you know, where the kids are at and their age and, you know, what all the other dynamics are.
I agree. And it, you know, it kind of all just evolved and I wasn't as concerned with it. But once we got further on down the line, so maybe going back like 2 years now, Keith was actually getting upset because I would refer to him as Keith babe because I was being conscientious to Lucas to not call him dad. And then the little kids would start calling him and even the older ones would jokingly call their own father Keith babe. And he was like, you know, it bothers me. Like my kids aren't supposed to be calling me that.
Right.
So I kind of like took a step back and now I always just refer to him as dad, regardless of who I'm talking to, because he always refers to me as mom and the girls again are older. So they understand, you know, what he's doing. But it has seemed to alleviate it. So now there's no confusion with the little ones of who's who and everybody kind of gets it. But if nothing else, it made him feel better that there isn't that disparity.
Yes, right. It's like if you just go with that name, you know, like least common denominator, like he's dad, everybody knows he's dad and whatever variation you want to go from there is good. But let's like give the guy a little respect.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But so what do you think about being a stepmom? I know that your situation's a little bit different, but what was your life like with that?
So I am a stepmom, but my stepdaughter is 25. So my husband had his older daughter when he was 18. And he and his daughter's mom never got married, but, you know, they stayed close and are still close to this day. But you know, she's gone through different, you know, relationships and women being in his life. So I felt like I had to approach it a little bit differently. Number one, because she's older. Number two, just because there had been other people involved other than her mom, you know, over the 20 something years. So I felt like, you know, just trying to approach it as sort of a friend, not being too intrusive. And I think, you know, it's hard because you're obviously aligned with your spouse and you want what's best for your spouse, and you know, see things that maybe, you know, your spouse doesn't see, in terms of good and bad. I think it's both, really. But I think there's a challenge there being a stepmom where you want to say something or you see something, and it's really hard, to figure out like what your place is. So I know, you know, for especially anybody in their 20s right now, there's, you know, financial issues. Like, are you living at home? Are you living, you know, in an apartment? Are you paying for your car insurance, school, credit cards? You know, there's just a lot of, you know, things that are tied up there. So as a stepmom, I think you can, you know, kind of like give advice, but not really. You know, I guess it depends on every person, but being the person to have that conversation is sort of like, you're like the little person, like whispering about what some recommendations could be.
I totally agree. So I have an adult stepdaughter also, but you know, I've been around for 7 years. So she was still a kid when I came into the picture, but now I would definitely say she's 20. And now I would say that we're more friends. Like, I don't really need to parent, you know, she'll come to me with some things on occasion. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a natural progression with any child, step or biological. I don't really think that's why. I think it's just, she's finding her own place and doing her own thing. She's growing up. But I feel like it's interesting because there's definitely like the financial things and the things that you expect out of your children. But like you said, sometimes when, you know, you're in the middle of it and it's your kid, you tend to maybe be a little softer with it or not necessarily see it like it is because, you know, it's your baby or whatever the case may be. But when it's a stepchild, I at least in our experience, I think you see things without like the rose colored glasses, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
And I think my husband would agree because he'll see things with my son that I don't necessarily see or don't want to see. And he'll point it out. And sometimes they're a little bit tough to hear because you're like, no, not my kid.
Right. So what are some of those things that Keith might see like in your son that would be hard for you to, you know, like not necessarily be on your radar?
I think that he tends to figure out a situation and make it behoove him whether or not that's the exact way that it went down. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like he's, you know, he's almost 8 and he's already kind of figured out how to, I don't want to say manipulate, like I don't think it's that strong, but I think he kind of like turns it a little bit, and he'll tell me the story and I'll be like, all right, like I'm gonna believe him, right? Are you telling me the truth? Yes, I'm telling the truth. Okay, you're telling me the truth. And my husband will look at me like, are you kidding me? Like, that's right. Not what happened. You know what I mean? So it's more of just like the way I see it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And where somebody that's, you know, like quote unquote an outsider can see like where that's happening, where like the truth is getting bent like a little bit, or just, you know, the story is moving in a beneficial direction. Whereas, right, and that would be difficult as just the parent, just, yeah, absolutely, that's what's happening, and like, oh, I can't believe that happened to you. So
right
now, how do you guys discuss that? Like, how do you discuss that situation? Do you do that like together later in the night? Is it just something you say right in front of your kids? Like, how does that conversation with you and Keith go down?
What we try to always do is be like the united front, because we both agree that, you know, with all the dynamics that are going on, the kids need to see that we are the bosses and we're together. And then privately later on, he and I will discuss. And, you know, lately I've been trying to teach the kids that, listen, it's okay to disagree and it's okay to have an argument, respectfully, because I don't want them to think that like we are always exactly on the same page, because that's just not real life.
Mm-hmm.
but that the details of it get worked out between him and I later on when they're in bed. Right. So, like another example, with the older kids, like, so like you were talking about financial obligations and car insurance and, you know, jobs and all that kind of stuff. I tend to want to be more strict with it and say, okay, like you have to do things by this date, because that's just me. Like, I'm a planner. Everything's kind of set in black and white. Whereas for him, you know, that's my stepchild. And he's like, well, let's be a little more lenient. I'm like, what do you mean?
Right.
So we've talked about before, like the theory that, well, you wouldn't do that if it's you, if it was yours. And that's, you know, a hard thing to kind of hear too from your spouse.
Yeah, because I could honestly see both sides of it. So I think that you are a planner, you know, and maybe like the girl's mom is not, you know, I don't know what the whole situation is, but maybe you're just a different personality in whatever the situation is than they're used to. So you're like, no, this is how I do it. And this is going to be, you know, we're going to hold you to this. And if that wasn't the pattern previously, then of course it's going to be different. But I can also see too, where if it's your kid and you're like, oh, okay, you don't have the car payment on the 15th, well, just give it to me by the 30th, or just, you know,
right,
babysit
right.
your brother and sister and we'll call it all good, you know? So I can see why that would be difficult. So do you think Keith is stricter with your kids?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And I think he would say the same about me.
Right.
And it's something that we've, you know, I've kind of just come up with in the last few hours, actually, is that I, something that's cool about being the step parent is that you don't have to do any of it, right? You don't have to be there at their football games or their dance recitals, and you don't have to love them. You choose to, you know, I choose to, and I want to, I love all of them as if they were my own. And as much as I will include them in everything I do, and I plan for them as much as I plan for all of them, it's kind of one big family. There is still that, you know, I didn't have the love at first sight with them. Like, I didn't hold them in my arms when I birthed them.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for whatever reason, there's a difference there. Like, and it's not because I don't love them. I absolutely do. But it's not even that it's not unconditional. It is unconditional, but there's still something that's just different between having your own. And I don't really know how to put words to it.
No, I think you're totally right on. I mean, it is something probably just like so deeply biological, but the point, which is an awesome one, is like, but I do show up and I do love you and I do care about you and I am concerned about you. Like, the opposite of love is like apathy, you know? So if I didn't love you, I would not care about anything that's going on in your life. So while I may be strict, or while I may, you know, hold your feet to the fire on certain things, that's because I do love you and I want to be involved in your life, and I am showing up. You know, that's how I express it.
I agree. And I think, you know, when you first become the step parent, and, you know, it can probably hold true for whatever age. Obviously it grows as they grow in age, but it's kind of just being present and showing up, because they will come to either like you and hopefully love you as their additional or extra bonus parent if you are there and you're consistent and you show up. And it's, you know, the discipline stuff you really have to take a back seat on. I never, probably to this day, really disciplined the older two, because they were already old enough when I came into the picture that it just wasn't my place.
Right.
Now the youngest one, I can now, you know, we started when she was 3, she's 11, and when she's here, I feel like, all right, you're part of the flow. Like, you're grouped in with the little kids still, even though you're kind of big. Yeah. But I'll tell you, there is some resistance on her part to that. And it could just be because she's a preteen. And I think that that's probably more it than I'm the stepmom.
Right.
But every age with all of the kids plays a challenge. And I think that we're constantly juggling to figure out what's my role, what's your role, what's the older sister versus the younger sister. Like, it's just a very dynamic world of blending families.
Yeah, it is. 'Cause it's so true. Like, when you said about your daughter, if she was, you know, your biological daughter, you just say, oh, she's just in a mood, you know, or she's not listening to me. Is she listening to you? Is she, you know, listening at school? You would think of like outside factors, not just like, oh, she's not taking me seriously as a step parent, you know, but that, I guess that
trumps everything.
Yeah, it's always there. It's always a possibility. So it's always like, oh, is this what's happening? Like, I didn't think this was an issue, but maybe it's an issue right now. Whereas, you know, with your biological kids, it's never an issue. So
yeah, that's a good point. Because, you know, you think of the myriad of things that it could be, whatever's wrong with them, but that's not one of them. And then when it's a stepchild, you're like, okay, that's an extra thing. And then that goes into a whole other tangent of emotions for you.
Right. I mean,
we had that this weekend, and, you know, so it's the weekend that we have everybody and she's here and we're all hanging out. Everything's good. And I went to like hug her or touch her hair or something. And she's like, don't touch me. And I just like lost it. I was at a basket case. I'm like, oh my God, she doesn't love me. And you know what? It had nothing to do with any of that. She was just in a mood. Like, right. You know,
totally. I feel like I just had that conversation with my 5-year-old and I was like, oh, I will touch your hair.
Right. Yeah. Cause I'm the boss.
I gave you that hair.
Yeah.
I'll take it. And I will keep petting you until you stop running away from me. Yep. So, right. That's what we would do differently.
So how did you guys, I mean, and I know your situation, when you came into the picture, how old was your stepdaughter?
She was in her early 20s. So
okay.
The way that I, you know, when you were talking, what made me think about it was, I think the best approach is the idea that, like, clearly, you know, the child and their parent, like the parent loves you and they are willing to, you know, be married to you and spend their life with you. So that has to be transmitted to the child, and it is transmitted. So I think if you just go from that general foundation of like, hey, I really love this person, they're going to be in our life now, so let's just try to figure it out, you know? And as long as you can be open and communicate with your spouse, and I think them, you know, especially with the older kids, them maintaining a separate relationship outside of you, I think is really helpful too. You know, just, I'm not here to take anybody's place. Cause I think there can be like a little bit of jealousy that could happen of like, oh, this has been my dad for 20 something years. Like, who are you basically, you know, like, and now you're going to swoop in and like take, you know, my dad away from me. I don't know. I think that could be some kids, like a deep down, you know, anxiety that they have. And so just what you were saying about just showing up, you know, just being there, just going, you know, to the place where they work or going to, you know, some event that they like, and just showing that you care and that you are an addition. You're not a replacement of any kind.
That's a good, I like that verbiage, an addition, you know, something like we call it the bonus parent, kind of the same theme, because we focus a lot on, you know, you're lucky because you have this extra person that loves you. And, you know, with that comes, you know, a second household and second birthday and a second Christmas and a second holiday and everything, you get two.
Right. So
in a lot of respects, it's a great bonus. And obviously there's some hardships that go with it and some difficulty of the back and forth. But primarily it's a good thing, as long as you're doing it the best that you can and always from a good place, that, you know, they're getting an extra thing, not losing something.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, can go into when you need to communicate with the child, you know, is it a place for just the parent, like the biological parent and the child, or is there a place for you as the step parent, you know, and your spouse and your stepchild, or, you know, is there a place where it's the two biological parents who are now split up that they're having the conversation with the kid? So how do you guys do it? Do you mainly do all your parenting together? Is there any times where you know, just do the one-to-one? You said with the older girls, you don't really, you know, get involved with that, but the younger ones, you guys do all team stuff.
So I would say yes, to all of them. Like, we will, I don't think I tend to directly parent with the older two as much, but my husband and I will discuss it, and then he'll, you know, use what we come up with and put it in his own words, because I definitely feel like he knows them better, as he should. He's known them their whole lives. So I think he's able to say things to them in a way that will connect with them better than I'm able to.
Yeah.
And so that's generally what we'll do for the older two. Like, we kind of hash it out, because I think that he values my opinions and how I would handle it. And in that respect, like, having that outside looking in point of view is helpful, to give different ideas and just different insight. But he'll do the actual parenting.
Right.
The direct, like, I'm going to go talk to them now.
Mm-hmm.
And then with my son, that if there's an issue, like, we'll do it first. If it's, we've had, you know, a time before, I want to say maybe like kindergarten, where myself, my husband, and my ex-husband and my son all sat down at the dining room table and like, all right, we're going to talk about, I don't even remember what it was, but we were able to all sit down and do it, because I wanted, you know, Lucas to know that we were all on the same page, and there's not going to be like, well, my dad said, and my mom said, and my stepdad said, no. Like,
right.
We're the team here, and you're going to be the kid.
Right.
We haven't done that since, but I do call, like, if I'm having an issue and I'm home by myself with the kids, I'll say, all right, we're going to call Keith, or we're going to call your dad, because you're not listening to me. And that usually makes him at least stop, like, freaking out enough to say, okay. And then we get on the phone and we discuss it. And between the three of us, we're able to, like, get it under control.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a good place for bringing in the other parent, because, like, you are a unified front. And I think it just naturally shows, this is serious, you know, whatever the issue is, like, this is serious. We care about you this much, or this is serious, and, like, you need to knock it off. So just the fact that you're all, like, gathered at the table is very symbolic. And also, there are things that get missed and, you know, mixed up over text message or just voicemail, where it's like, oh, hey, and by the way, this happened today, and this is how I handled it. Like, I've gotten those calls or those texts from my older daughter's dad, and sometimes I'm like, oh, like, that kind of seems like an important issue that maybe I should have been there for. And I can remember just over in kindergarten, no, it was in preschool, that we actually did come over. I went over to his house so that we could talk to my daughter together, because she was just crying so much every day we dropped her off, and she's since never had an issue. But it was like, we both were pulling our hair out about it. And I think we just wanted to let her know, like, whatever it is, you can talk to us about it. Or, you know, you can talk to dad, you can talk to me. But, you know, we both think it's really important. So I think for some things that are, like, extremely, you know, just weighty, that it is good to bring the other person in.
I do too. And I think with parenting in general, and I kind of second guess myself a lot on this one, is, you know, when you're the parent that's home with the kids and you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling like out of control, because I can't get them to do what I want them to do or to listen, I'm always hesitant to say, like, all right, I'm going to call your dad, because I don't want dad or stepdad or whoever to be always have to be like the disciplinarian or the heavy.
Yeah.
I want them to listen to me, and I struggle with it, because I'm never sure if that is that the right move or not.
Right. That is very difficult. Cause I guess, you know, if they were in the same house, like, if either, you know, anybody was just upstairs, you would be like, okay, guys, like, all right, I'm going to get dad. This is enough. This is ridiculous. So, you know, maybe by, like, the phone call, it's a little more, like, symbolic of, like, oh crap, I really need help. But, you know, honestly, whatever works, like, whatever makes you not go totally insane.
Exactly. And, like, my husband, if he's home, and he'll, like in the mornings is always a good example, because I'll be up first getting myself together, then I get the kids together, and then he gets up and, you know, helps out with breakfast and gets himself together. But there's mornings where he'll hear it in my voice that it's time to get up earlier, because I'm right. About to, like, lose it.
Right. So, you're about to wake up now, right? You're gonna.
Yeah. Are you awake because you heard the screaming? Or. So, yeah, like, those times I don't actually have to, like, threaten to hear dad. Like, I'm going to call your dad. He just comes out running.
Right.
But I don't know. It's It's definitely always interesting for sure.
Yeah. So what do you think about, you know, we were actually talking earlier about if you're a step parent but there aren't other kids involved. And I was, you know, we kind of touched on being a step parent to an older child, but I think it is very different when you're step parent to a younger child. Like, you know, it's almost like immediately you're sort of like a mom figure, you know, even if the other mom is very involved in their life. I think it's just hard for children not to be, you know, attached to you in the absence of their biological mom. Has that been your experience?
Well, I've never been only stepmom. Mm-hmm. I've had, so I guess there's been times where like Lucas wasn't with us before I had my younger two and I would just be with my husband and the girls. But it was really, really early on. So I wasn't like stepmom yet. I was just like dad's new girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think I've experienced that. But I think that it depends on the situation. So, you know, I could envision a situation where, you know, two people are dating and he has a child from a previous marriage and she wants kids. So it's like, you know, almost like a ready-made family.
Right.
Where they could be really involved, or it could completely go the other way where they don't want kids and it's like, this is too much.
Right. Right. And I think that really is, you know, how that works out is just the communication between the adults, you know, like just knowing that your kid is safe if you're the biological mom and, you know, your child's with dad and dad's new girlfriend doesn't have children, you know, you have to put so much trust in that other person that they are safe and sane and have the best interest in your child. And I think that in that situation, it's okay to have more communication if possible, you know, with your ex and just, you know, really try to see if they are, you know, if your child feels comfortable with them. And you can see it immediately. I know with my daughter and my ex-husband's girlfriend, you know, she holds her hand, she lets her carry her, you know, they laugh, I let her, you know, she drives her around. I mostly, you know, communicate with her because it's a lot easier. She's a lot more organized. So
right.
I think it's actually kind of nice in some ways because you know, it's a very easy, very like drama-free relationship. But it did take us a few years to get there where I was like, who the hell?
But why are you holding?
Right. But that was like my, you know, that was my own stuff. And now everything is good. So I think that, you know, that's another dynamic that takes, you know, time to build, but it can be a good thing if you can hang in there.
And I think in your situation, like, I absolutely would have felt the same way, especially in the beginning, because, you know, here's this person that A is going to be around my child and she's not already a mom. For me personally, like, that would make me really nervous because especially, you know, if the child's young, you're trusting them and they haven't done this before, right? It's first time around.
Yeah.
So I can see why over time, and you know, as your daughter got more comfortable and everything's fine and she communicates with you, like, it's a really great, sounds like a great relationship and everybody's kind of winning and happy and thriving.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So did you want to tell us about the article that you found?
Sure. It was on focusonthefamily.com and it was kind of just focusing on how step parenting is cool and how it's plays together with blending it and the whole thing that we're going with here, the blending families, the positive vibe that we wanted to create. So I found a really great quote that I was going to share, and then we'll attach the link if you're interested into the details of the podcast. But the quote is, "One of the most important step-parenting skills after remarriage is monitoring the children's activities. This involves knowing their daily routine, where the children are, who they're with, and what extracurricular activities they're involved in, but does not necessarily include being involved in the child's emotional life. Monitoring step-parents check homework, daily chores, and befriend the children yet refrain from emotional closeness that it's not welcomed by the child. I feel like I've experienced that over the years, and it kind of just naturally happened that showing up for the science fair and showing up for the dance recitals and knowing that they have choir practice today, simple things that let the child know that you are paying attention and that you care without crossing that boundary of the emotional closeness until they're ready and give you the green light.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, as you were reading that, I was just thinking, you know, just the phrase, actions speak louder than words. And that's really true for children because they don't understand language like we do. And, you know, in a lot of ways, like they just have to gauge how we feel by what we do in the sense that we give them. So, right, you know, the first thing is practically being there and being there for all the tangible events. And then, you know, the emotional closeness grows over time. And that's, you know, that's the work. And that's the work that you, you know, continue to do with your stepkids by continuing to show up, by continuing to, you know, show them that you do care.
Yes. And I think that that is universal for all kids, however they were came into your life, because showing up and showing them that you're going to be there and that it's unconditional, I think is kind of a universal thing, right? The kids need to know they can trust you and rely on you in order to respect you. And that goes down that whole path as well.
Yep. Just being present. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we hope we shared something helpful with you tonight. If something resonated with what you are going through, let us know and share our podcast with our friends. Our goal is to help us step up in our parenting skills and to blend gracefully. See you next week on the Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families.
Cheers.
Cheers.